since 2002, 69 teams in the NFL have opened the season 0-2, 0-3, like the Saints right now. None have made the playoffs. So dare I say, Coach, it's September. The Saints are 0-3, but is the season over?
No, the season... God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
I'm just saying, the statistics say...
Is the season over? They have 13... They have 13 more games to play. Is the season over? Can they go home and pack their bags and go home? You just said the season's over. That's the most negative statement that I hear from fans and media ever. Ever. And it bugs me.
Okay, well, how about
this? Is the season over? No, there's 13 more games to play. 13 more games to play, and you're saying the season's over? Unbelievable.
I'm just saying...
Unbelievable.
Statistically...
The season is not over. Do you think those players and coaches are going over there in there thinking the season's over? No way.
Look,
no way.
I'll say this. Since Sean Payton and Drew Brees arrived, they have always seemingly righted the ship in some way, and they have fought hard until the end.
And they got 13 games to right the ship again. You give all those stats. Since 2000 and this, no team has gone. So what? Does that mean it can't happen? No, it doesn't mean that it can't happen. What do you think those guys are thinking? They're going to look at the stats and say, well, there's no way we can go to the playoffs? They wouldn't quit then. The season wouldn't be over even that. No, the season's not over. They got 13 games to play. 13 games. Jeez.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm sober, sadly sober. So last week, Jason and Mike were trying to make a case for 10-6 record. After the Monday night game against the Falcons, I suspect they're going to want to adjust their expectations. But as Jim Mora passionately explained just now, there are 13 games left. And there's probably also about 13 reasons why the Saints didn't play their best game in front of a crowd that was primed by the 10-year reunion of the Dome coming. And so if there is going to be a silver lining, we're going to do our best to find it. Because we don't want to lose hope just yet. At least not until our eternal optimist, Jason, does. And something tells me he's not given up just quite yet. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go. I'm a zero. I got a glass of wine. Just got home, but that's it. I mean, my eternal optimism isn't completely dead, but I mean it's on life support.
Realisticness is starting to set in.
Yes. Yeah. Look, the injuries are just taking their toll, and it's too hard to ignore. Unfortunately,
that's part of it. That's right. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
All right, dude, we're all sober for this one. So, and maybe rightfully so. Rightfully so, I think. There's no reason to celebrate. Speaking of the game, let's get into game recap. You want to go chronological order. Opening drive, you thought... We had this thing was in the bag, right? The ship was righted. Nice drive down the field. Finished with a, of all people, Fleener touchdown.
Of course. He's not a bust.
Well.
Not yet. Couldn't write him off after two games like everybody was willing to do. That's all. Look, I'm not saying he's
calling touchdown doesn't make him the next fucking
He caught seven passes for 100 yards, and I'm not saying he's the next Jimmy Graham. Okay, but he's not going to be a fucking bust.
I like how we all know what we're going to say.
Now. Still got 13 games. 13 games.
13. Well, it's almost like we heard the show before. No, do it again, and then I'll get off his back.
Okay, well, he's
do it a couple more times, games.
We were on his back the first two times, so if he does two more, then we'll be neutral on him.
It's a game-by-game basis.
He's got a reset.
Each game improves himself a level.
He doesn't seem like he's a comfortable... That he catches the ball comfortably. Every time he catches the ball, he fucking...
Drops it?
Yeah. there was that one catch where he you know, he bobbled the thing, and luckily it just the defender pushed it against his body. You know, I mean, he never looked comfortable catching that ball, even that touchdown in the end zone.
No, that looked pretty easy. That wasn't. No. Oh, come on, that wasn't.
No, it didn't. I saw it on our Super Jumbotron now. No, it did not.
Well, I think that's just y'all's hatred of the guy permeating through. Let's see what happens the rest of the way. But
All right. Moving on to then the Falcons scoring.
Well, hold on. So anyway, you know, after that drive, the dome's rocking. I'm looking at Mike, and I'm just saying this. As we were waiting, I'm like, with the injury to Snead, I'm like, this is going to be the Ingram and Fleener games. And after the first drive, Ingram was running well. Fleener caught a touchdown. I'm like, this is it. And then you stop him on third down, and the dome is rocking at this point. I mean, it is loud.
The dome's the loudest I've heard it in years. The crowd was there. I mean, everybody. It was, you know, Monday night in the Superdome.
Falcons.
10th anniversary of the, you know, reopening of the dome.
Gleason was out there as the honorary captain.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know.
Who did the who dat chant drop?
Drew.
Okay. Drew?
Yeah.
Is it
again,
the,
another,
the second time he's done it.
I think another reason, we weren't fucking around.
Okay, right. So the punt unit comes on the field.
Yeah.
This is when Harris...
Fucking yakety sacks.
Some say he got pushed...
he did get pushed a little bit into him.
No, not... I mean, no, Jason, yeah, he didn't get pushed. When you say... If I tell you he got pushed, in your mind, you envision... Come on.
I mean, he might have got... He was trying to block while running backwards, and his momentum carried him into him. Or did he actually turn around and hit him face forward? I haven't watched the replay.
No, he was... He was engaging his defender. His defender pushed him a little bit, and then just... Knocked right into fucking Tommy Lee.
That's like the 10-6 answer. I mean, it's just you're misrepresenting what happened. The man's an idiot.
And then he got up and grabs the ball.
Ugh.
Assuming I'm gonna give him benefit of the doubt. Assuming he thought it maybe hit his foot, and it looked like it bounced really close. It might have touched him, and he might have thought, "Shit, I gotta get this."
Either way, it's just a complete like it's a 1970s era Saints blunder.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Football follies.
Right, that's right. You know, and again, fuck Greg McMahon. He needs to go.
Yep.
He needs to go.
There's no reason he should still be on this coach's team.
I mean, we've had a special teams era in every fucking. In every game.
In every game so far, and it's cost us these last two games because after that happened. The air of the dome just got sucked out.
You could
feel it in the crowd, and you could see it on the players. You could just tell.
It never got that loud at the first drive again. Never.
Mm-mm.
You know, it never did.
Yeah, I mean, after doing so well to hold them to three and out, you give them that field position, and they score right away, and then, like, here we go.
Was that our first opening drive touchdown in how long? Feels like a long time.
Oh, God, who knows? But that play, again... That changed the momentum of the game. That changed the outlook. That changed everything. I mean, it really did. Really did. And again, I don't want to get off McMahon yet. Like we said, the last two games, and even the first game, remember, we had a field goal block, but luckily it went in. You know, I mean, it was tipped, I guess you call it, and it wasn't blocked. It went in. And then obviously the Giants, we all know the fucking, 10-point swing there. And I told y'all that the guy who blocked it had said, oh, we saw it all week long.
Yeah.
You know, they saw something. Now, the fucking McMahon has to go. Now, is he the reason we're fucking 0-3 or fucking 4-11 in the dome in the last 15 games?
One of the 13 reasons.
You know?
He is one of those reasons. But again, it's like, you know, you field the punt cleanly, you get the ball back, you get all the momentum, and I was just assuming, they're gonna drive right back down, score again, be a 14-0 like that.
We're forgetting a special teams blunder before that one, the kickoff, when we kicked off after our fucking touchdown for the first time, instead of kicking out the back of the end zone, you know, we special, we smart, and I'm sure Sean Payton makes this call. I'm assuming not McMahon. But we kick it short, and instead of the 25, they get it at the 48.
Yeah,
They get it at midfield.
Yeah. And sometimes you want to be able to say, well, some of this is execution. It's a player. You know, to what extent is the player responsible? But when you have on what seems to be at least half of our special teams plays, there's these errors or problems, blown coverages, just bad play. That's coaching, right?
Right. And look, our special teams coverage was bad last year also.
Yeah.
You know, because they did the same thing last year, trying to kick it short and kick it. To me, that's coaching. I mean.
And to those out there, we're not looking for someone to hang. We're not looking for a scapegoat. We've been singing the Greg McMahon, get fire Greg McMahon song for at least 3 years.
It's damn cronyism at its best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with Bill Johnson. Same fucking thing.
But we did actually get a little bit of a pat. We got a sack at least in this game. Well, we had two sacks, right?
We had two sacks and some pressures.
Yeah, but really missing, not having Davidson in there really hurt against the run. I mean, they just ran all fucking over us.
200 yards.
I mean, and they went for it on a handful of fourth downs, and I believe converted every one.
Well. I think it was two, not a handful. That's that. But you're right. They have no respect for our defense.
It just on one fourth down, you had the shitty horse collar call against Roman.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a horse collar. I'm sorry.
No, he had his sleeve. You could see that. Everybody.
No, hold on. I happen to be reading. I just finished Mike Pierre's book called After Further Review. You know who Mike Pierre is?
Yeah.
He was the head of officiating, and now he's on Fox doing this stuff. Anyway, I just happened to finish reading that, and there's a chapter on that, and they did change the horse collar. Now it's any tugging or pulling, you know, of the jersey above the neck. And it used to be that you could put your hand
above the neck?
On the collar area.
But he had his sleeve lower than the shoulder.
Yeah, but it is.
He had his sleeve lower than his hand was on the sleeve lower than the shoulder pad. His collar was pulled below the shoulder pad because he was hanging onto the sleeve.
But that's it. The way the rule is, that is horse collar. That is horse collar.
Well, that's a stupid rule change.
Well, that might be. I mean, I might agree with you, but they did change it because of player safety, you know.
Right.
Because they reviewed all the plays and, you know, so anyway, they went in a whole big thing on in the book, but it was a horse collar. You know. But what got me, speaking of Roman Harper, on one of the fourth downs, when Matt Ryan scrambled for it, if it was Kenny Vaccaro in there instead, you know, and then Kenny was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vaccaro, a little younger, a little quicker, could have got to Ryan before the first down.
Missing the.
You remember that play?
Yeah. I mean, him missing the game was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge. And that's really where you started. You know, the defense somehow played well against the Giants, but just these injuries are just really taking a toll. You can't ignore it. I know they don't like to make injuries an excuse, but you can't ignore how many projected starters and contributors are not there.
Defense.
And you're forced to rely. Right. You're forced to rely. I mean, Omen Yada got a shit ton of snaps. And he's not ready yet.
From when we entered the off season, you know, from Kakaha on, I think we're missing six members of our defense that should be on the field.
I think more. Yeah, at least.
Yeah, all you got our top four cornerbacks are out. Vaccaro was out, or safety Davidson and Rankins were out.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Ellerby, but well.
Well, that's a weekly tradition for him.
Not position. Actually, Ellerby's in his position.
Right. It's news when he plays.
Right. You know, now, one of the things, and I don't feel like I can tell, but, you know, if you listen to Bobby Hebert after the game, you know, he was still talking about people being out of position.
No. There were a lot of plays to the running back out in space, and there just seemed to be nobody there.
Well, I don't think that it was, and Bobby knows better, of course, but I didn't see people out of position so much as I saw people playing so far off the receivers. I mean, Matt Ryan was hitting guys, and there wasn't a guy for 8 yards around him.
Well, and not even the wide receivers. our linebackers weren't playing close to the line of scrimmage.
I guess you can't when you have no backfield. You have no defense.
When you got Roman Harper back there, you kind of try to mask that.
You know, and I mean, it could also be, look, Atlanta was running a no huddle quick offense. So maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Using a lot of short passes and misdirections.
So, and the crazy part is they held Julio Jones to one catch.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm assuming Moore was covering him.
Crawley was covering him on some too. Combination Moore Crawley.
Either way, both of them did admirably considering what they were asked to do.
But isn't
there's Julio a silver lining? We said we'd find it.
Isn't Julio injured, or is he dealing with injuries?
He every week he's like that. I mean, he still played a bunch of snaps, and he's still Julio. Even a 85% Julio is still pretty damn good.
They didn't have any 100-yard receivers, and Devonta Freeman was their leading receiver with 55 yards. So
they spread the
ball.
That's
amazing. I mean,
he only Matt Ryan passed for, I'll say only 240. Yards. So I mean,
when you run 200, you don't have to pass.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you really want to get down to it, all things considered, our pass defense a little bit better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I figured Julio Jones would go nuts and get 100 yards and 8 catches, and they just beat us other ways. You know, Saints have been decent against the run,
right?
Outside of the 70-yard.
So go back to special teams on the other side of it, the roughing the kicker play that we got the first down on. Damon, you had a theory on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw it in the dome, I'm not sure how it looked on TV, but they were coming after that punt. They were coming after that. They wanted, you know, I said it in the game to Doug, they wanted a block punt so bad. They wanted, you know. Because watching
turn the tables on us.
Yeah. Watching that Gleason play, trust me, sticks in their craw more than we realize.
And the Marty play.
Right, you know. Yeah, the Marty play, not so much. I know it pisses them off when it happened. But yeah, but they wanted a block punt so fucking bad. And luckily they didn't get it. They got a roughing the kicker and first down. So I was.
Boys, speaking of Marty, he was pissed after our botched punt return at the beginning. He was so pissed off.
Yes, he was.
I think somebody was. Now talk about Lutz, your favorite kicker.
57-yarder, man. See, when he can get some blocking in front of him.
I could see that thing have been good for like 63 yards.
No. It was good from 57. That's it.
Yeah. Take the fact that he
bounced over the crossbar. I thought
57 and a half inches. That's it. I mean, that's it. Look, I saw we were playing Chicago Bears when we had Morton. So that was, you know, late 80s, early 90s. Going into halftime, he kicked a 60-yarder and it literally went halfway through the uprights at 60 yards. Back, I mean, that kick would have been good from 70.
It was in Chicago?
No, it was in the dome.
Okay.
It was in the dome, you know? So, but look, I like Lutz. For some reason, I'm comfortable when he goes out there. The only two he's missed is a 61-yarder
and a 50-yarder.
Right. I think it was 53, but, you know, but anyway, I mean, so, and that was his first game.
Yeah.
So I feel very – I'm excited. He's one of the things I'm excited about.
It'll be fun, and especially if we can get a competent special teams coach
right,
in here.
Right, because a special teams coordinator has no fucking bearing on how this guy kicks. You know?
Yeah.
You can bring me out there and give me the greatest special team coordinator in the world, and I can't kick a 20-yarder. You know, that's natural talent. He was with Baltimore, with Tucker, even though he knew – I'm talking about Lutz now – he knew he wasn't going to beat out Tucker. I mean, you know.
Tucker's arguably the best kicker in the league.
Right. But he went there knowing that, you know, that he wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
It would help him. And luckily, I said, we got him. Like Coach Payton said last week, this kid's going to be kicking here for a long time. So I'm excited. I'm like that. I think we finally got a competent kicker.
10 years later.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then the last thing I'll say about the game is, so Cooks only ended up with 2 catches for 13 yards. Wow.
Yeah, Trufant did a good job on him.
Mm-hmm. Coleman, I'm going to hand it to Coleman, 7 for 78. That's good job, Coleman. I know I've not been a big Coleman fan, so I'll give credit.
Considering the opportunity he got, he did okay. I mean, I know there was one that he dropped that he should have had, but.
Well, we were wondering who was going to step up in Snead's absence, and so between Coleman and Thomas.
And Fleener.
And Fleener, yeah, you're right.
Thomas continues to impress.
Oh, my God, that guy's got hands like stick-ems.
Yeah, look, he's going to be really good.
And on his touchdown, not just hands, but he seemed to have a situational, you know, awareness of him. You know, when he caught that touchdown, he caught it. He was a little short, and he just dived for the end zone.
We might have caught a little lightning in a bottle on him if he can sustain that and repeat it in year two, you know, after people.
Well, the two players that you know, Thomas and Putz.
Putz, come on. You can't call him. You like him. You can't call him Putz anymore.
I do, but, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate when your name is Lutz. I mean, it really is. I mean, trust me, I'm not the first one to call him that, you know. But it's just funny that those two guys we got, if you remember, it was Urban Meyer in Ohio State that was real big on him and kind of told Peyton, you know, this is, you know, you need to get this kid. And then it was Harbaugh in Baltimore that, you know, according to articles I've read, you know, kind of told Peyton, look, this is here's the guy you need. This kid can play, you know. So our talent evaluation from other teams are much better than one in house. Right. It's kind of my point, but
yeah, because again, it looks like it's only a matter of time until Bird joins that dead money pile with everybody else. I mean, God, that one play was just
fuck him. Again, I mean,
that is the epitome of fucking Bird. That
I one. Mean, dude.
You talking about the one where he rolled over?
Yeah, he just.
Okay, is Bird a bigger bust than Jason David?
Well, probably because we've had to watch Bird for longer.
Years. Like we cut bait with David a lot sooner.
I'm assuming that maybe, you know, at a cornerback position, maybe it's more glaring obvious, you know, because
he's getting toasted on
right
a lot of plays.
And right with Bird being, you know, so far back,
he does nothing. There was even a play where, you know, he made a tackle on a guy, but I'm like, he could have attempted and tried to go for the interception. That's why we signed you, asshole, right, to make picks.
Was it this game or the last week's game where the receiver was running down the field and Bird was kind of in a position to make the tackle and he kind of turned and ran with the receiver for another 15 yards before he actually tried to make a tackle?
I know there was one play in the Atlanta game where the receiver's coming at him and he's backpedaling backwards. I know it's look, I'm going to keep him contained and, you know, and someone else is going to make the tackle. Yeah. And so, but doesn't a competent fucking safety come up and make the tackle?
Apparently backpedaling and running with the receiver is the right thing to do because, as you just mentioned, to start talking about him, if he does stand up to a guy and try to wrap his arms around him, he's going to get juked.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he got juked out of his.
And he's the last line of defense.
Right.
That was garbage. Okay, that's enough for game recap. We're going to move into Look at Him
Tweet. Yeah. I know we're moving on. Just the last thing, walking out the dome. I wasn't mad. I was just sad. Like, this was the saddest that I felt in the 10 years that Peyton and Breeze have been here. That just, you know, like, to lose against the Falcons on Monday night. Falcons haven't won a primetime game in, like, 20 or 30 years on the road.
Fortunately, having watched it on TV, I was, throughout the process of the game, I was done long before. So my sadness turned into apathy by the end of the game. It's just like, you know, it's fucking.
It's not apathy yet. I'm just sad. I'm sad that we're wasting Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's get into some tweets, Yagen.
Sorry.
So our first tweet comes in from Ben Wright here, and he says he's entered a ballot to go to a Q&A with Goodell when he's in the UK, I guess, this week. What should I ask him? Hashtag Bountygate.
How about ask him where he prefers his bat with razor blades, in his ass or in his pee hole?
I did not see that going in that direction. That would be painful.
Maybe ask him, considering that the ratings have been down this season across the board, other than maybe the Patriots game Thursday, all these games, the ratings are going down. Could ask him if his terrible decisions over the last few years, you know, Bountygate, Ray Rice, Spike, fucking Deflate,
Hardy.
I mean, it's everything. Everything has contributed to people getting turned off by the NFL, and maybe it's this has to do with him.
I think in addition to all of that, I think the player safety and all these rules in the games are becoming more and more controlled, quote unquote, by the refs/NFL. That you're no longer watching a sport of athletes seeing who's the best out there anymore. It's so nitpicked. It's not fun to watch a game anymore. Like, I've tried to watch other, you know, the non-Saints games. I mean, I watch Saints games because I have a vested interest in that. But it's hard to watch another game because it's just dumb.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of went back and forth a little on Sunday. But, like, I was watching some DVR shows, and then I check out maybe a few minutes of the game, and then I go back and just watch something else on the DVR. Like, because, right, I don't care about these teams.
No, well, the Minnesota Panthers game was good on Sunday, and now half of that is
that's because Minnesota won.
Right, it's always fun to watch Carolina lose. You know, they're fucking land
of maybe that's part of it too. Is you're right, like the Fox game that I'm forced to watch because I don't do the Sunday ticket.
Right,
is not the game I would want to watch, or you know, the AFC game that I'm forced to watch is not the game I would want to watch.
No, and that's let me ask you, Jeff.
Dallas,
but you're pretty much. I mean. Whenever the Saints are on, you're getting the Saints game, right?
Yeah, we get all the Saints games.
Right.
Okay. Even ahead of Dallas. If the Saints and Dallas are playing at the same time, it's Saints.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's really more Shreveport, you know.
Right. Yeah, Shreveport, you might get Dallas over the Saints.
Yeah, no, they do. But, that's what I'd ask.
But the AFC team by default here is the Colts.
Really?
Because of Manning.
It was. It might be. Yeah, you're right. It might be the Texans now. But anyway, questions for Goodell. I mean, I think that something about the ratings. What if he thinks that?
You think it's his fault?
Blame him for the ratings and see what he says. Is pretty much what we're saying.
No, it's not. That'll be his answer. But
of course, right? He's going to give no matter what you ask him. He's going to give some PC bullshit non-answer.
Of course.
So. Next tweet comes from Wheels, and he says, so for those of you who don't know, Wheels works at a hotel in New Orleans, and on Sunday he interviewed or did like his own little poll in the lobby of the hotel, and he asked anyone wearing a Falcons jersey if they, you know, what part of Atlanta are you from? And so he tweeted us, of the 17 Falcons fans asked, what part of Atlanta are you from? 0 answered Atlanta.
This is true to form, no surprises there.
That's good right there.
Well, you know what I was talking about, I'm not sure how y'all used to enter the game but back in the day, you know, we'd walk in front of City Hall, and there were always these buses from Atlanta. I mean, you know, a whole city block full. Maybe they're making them park somewhere else, but I haven't seen that in years.
Well, there's also not as nearly as much parking as there used to be with all this development going on down there. I mean, even our tailgating spots from 09, they're all gone. There's all these other buildings there.
Okay, well, let me ask you all this in the Dome. So you said the Raiders had a lot of fans in the Dome.
Not even close. It was normal. I think maybe that has something to do with it. The tickets... you know, now that we're sold out on season tickets,
it's harder for the Falcons.
It's harder for the Falcons. And then look, over the last 10 years, it hasn't really been a rivalry, okay? I mean, you'll beat us one time, you know.
Right.
It happens. A blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. You
right.
know?
They may be going to Carolina games more since right. it's closer too, isn't it?
To Probably, Atlanta? Yeah.
Yeah, not really sure on that geography, but I think you might be right. You know, right. And then again, you're a fucking Atlanta fan, you know.
Well, actually, yeah, they're not going from Atlanta anyway.
Right.
You know. As is evidenced by Wheels'
Right.
All right, so the next tweet comes from Neil, and he says, how long before our number one overall pick next season is injured in NOLA?
Yeah.
We're not going to get the number one pick, but we may get the number four or five pick.
Actually, I do like the way Neil phrased it. How long before the number one overall pick is injured in NOLA? He's got two things happening in here.
Yeah. The injuries this season have just been brutal.
Is it too early to resign yourself to, like, are you saying top five draft, you know, first five?
I mean, it's looking that way. I mean,
only way we're making playoffs is if we win the division.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. There's 13 more games to play. 13 more games to play, and you're saying the season's over? Unbelievable.
I'm just saying.
Unbelievable.
Statistically.
The season is not over. Do you think those players and coaches are going over there in there thinking the season's over? No way.
Getting healthy is the first thing.
Yeah, yeah. I know we said, you know, injuries, you can't use them as an excuse, but yeah, it sure the fuck doesn't help.
No, and that was so, especially considering the makeover we were trying to do with this defense. You bring in a lot of other guys, and you're thinking, okay, we might have a shot to be not shitty. And everybody gets hurt, and you're like, nope, we're back to shitty again.
How much relief of dead money do we get next year? I mean, does some of that fall off finally?
A lot of it does.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 45 now. We're at 7 dead money next year. So, yeah.
Now, that's before we toss Bird's corpse on there, dead money on there.
And I think he'll be 7, you know, so they'll put it to 15.
So maybe.
Which is still a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot less than our 40, or at least
yeah.
45.
By think standard, it's like.
Right. I mean, we still might lead the league, but it's a lot better than what we have. You know, what we are now and what we were last year.
Yeah.
So we'll
There's
probably
just so many fucking mistakes this fucking team has made over the last.
Mistakes and the way Loomis always finagles those contracts to really bite us when they don't work out.
Right.
He makes it more penalizing when you have to cut them.
I mean, fuck me. It just.
Yep.
All right, next one comes from Prano Predicts. Does Fleener's performance move him up from a pile of shit to just a piece of shit?
Yeah, I'd go with that. I'll go with that one. You get the piece of shit now.
You stupid piece of shit. And then Crime Donkey came in and said, just fucking stop it, you're an idiot. Referencing the tweet I made comparing Fleener to... Michael Thomas, and I wasn't trying to blame Fleener for the loss. I was trying to point out that Thomas catches everything that seems to be thrown in his direction,
except for that one that turned into a pick six.
Yeah, except that one.
But there's no reason to call on Fleener. Had 100 yards and a touchdown. He tried to help us win the game. I mean, there were so many other things to tweet about and bitch about. Fleener wouldn't win.
Well. It did come right off of watching Fleener drop the ball, followed by Thomas catching it. So it was in the moment. That's what Twitter's for, right?
Sure.
Say stupid shit in the moment.
Sure.
All right. Then there's an exchange between Wheels and I during the course of the game. He says, did we leave the defense in New Jersey? I've yet to see evidence that the Saints defense is within 100 miles of the dome. So I said, yeah, we're playing so far off the receivers. It reminds me of Corey White and Patrick Robinson. And then he comes back with, well, when Jay Bird's playing safety from Gerrard Street, you get a little confused. That was the tweet of the night.
Yeah. He does like to play off the ball.
Right. And then we got the last tweet we'll read here. It comes from Life of Ty. He says, to make things worse, Rob Ryan's defense had 4 interceptions and 5 sacks on the Cardinals this past Sunday.
Oof.
Yeah, but they still give up 30-something points to the Jets last week.
Mm-hmm.
But he still sucks. His defense still sucks.
Well, I would also argue that Rob Ryan always seems to have a pretty good showing in his first year where he goes.
Yeah, you're right.
It's what happens after that. And he probably has better players than we do to play with. Or than he did when he was here. All right, that is the look at him tweets. And now it's time for a little bit of pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
All right, awful week for me in pick'ems. I brought up the rear with 1-4 record last week, my only win being Minnesota. Lost every other game.
That's difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it just as easy to go 1-4 as it is to go 4-1?
In the NFL, yeah. You know. Jeff went 2-3, and Damon, you and Mike went 3-2. So now Jeff and Damon are tied at 8-7.
Yeah.
I'm 2 games back at 6-9.
And I will say, EJ and A-Rod went 0-5, if it makes you feel any better.
Woo, boy.
Wow.
Wow.
In the larger grand scheme of things, I will say our leading the pack is near with a 9-6 record.
Now, is that every game?
Well, what I still need to adjust it for next week, but Wheels technically has a higher percentage, but Wheels hasn't played a full season. He's missing a week. So we'll do an adjustment. And what did we decide to do about the missing a week?
Or everybody's allowed to miss a week.
Everybody's allowed to miss a week. Okay, so in that case, Wheels is in first place. Wheels,
right.
You can Preston use Allen.
Right. We can put an asterisk by there.
Yeah.
You get an asterisk.
That's right. And then I'll just read the rest in order. So it's Wheels, Near, Preston Allen, Saints Fan, UK, Damon, Jeff, Ed Hunt, Neil, Doug, Emmanuel, Alex Barbie, Jason, A-Rod, Zeno, Glenn Fitz, Hungry Hoodat, Jim Bull, Rance, Whore Islander, Mike, Dad to Twins, EJ, Life of Tag, Hoodat, Nutsack, and Triple D's Stud Farm. And just so you know, from Dad to Twins, EJ, Life of Ty, and Hoodat, Nutsack are all 5-10.
Mm. Ooh, they got to pick it up.
That's right.
Yep. All right. On to this slate of games. Our first game is our first London game this year. We've got the Indianapolis Colts coming off a win last week, coming behind win at the end against the Chargers. At the London Jaguars, Jacksonville, I think this is the third or fourth straight year they've hosted a game in London. Jacksonville is one of the four 0-3 teams, along with the Saints, the Browns, and the Bears. And Jacksonville is getting 2.5
Woo-hoo.
Against the Colts.
Yeah, that's an easy. I'll take the Colts.
As is tradition.
Jacksonville is Jacksonville.
Yeah, I've gotten burned by Jacksonville already once this year. So I got burned last week, so I'm gonna go with the Colts as well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with you guys, even though Jacksonville's getting points at quote-unquote home.
Yeah, but it's not home.
Right.
Well, for them, it kind of is. Maybe there is some kind of home field advantage over in London.
Maybe more so than home field advantage in Jacksonville. I will say, like, the fact that they are the team that plays there every year, I would like to know from our UK fans if they feel like Jacksonville does feel like the London team. If any team did.
Also curious if any of our listeners are going to this game.
Yeah. I think Neil did say he has tickets. I know he's got tickets to a game. I don't know if it's this game.
I'm sure which one. Okay.
Right. I'm curious on what the ticket prices are over there. How they compare to...
All right. So a lot of questions for the UK listeners. Y'all got to tweet us. Tell us.
All right. Next game. The Oakland Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 3-0. Kind of surprising some people so far.
It's not Phantom anymore.
No. So now Oakland's got to travel the country to take on the Ravens. Ravens are at home, and they're favored by 3.5.
Right, I'll go first on this one, and I'll take the Ravens, because every time I don't, it screws me over.
Yeah, with the Raiders having to travel across country, they always say that plays into it, you know. So you can't get any further going across country. So
right,
I'm also going to go with the Ravens. All right, our next game.
If they went to Miami, they'd go further.
Yeah.
All right, our next game. This is probably the game of the week. The Kansas City Chiefs coming off strong win against the Jets, intercepting Ryan Fitzpatrick 6 times. At the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off
they paid him.
Coming off a big loss against the Eagles. Did not see that coming. This game is in Pittsburgh, and they're favored by 5.5. They're favored by 5.5.
So that's 6 points.
Yep.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Kansas City's good. I like Andy Reid. That's too much. I'll go Kansas City.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It's the amount of points you're giving a good team. It's not like Kansas City's not capable. And I don't know. I've quote unquote believed in Kansas City, you know, since last year. Didn't they go on like a 7-0 record run last year?
Well, I think that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. They went on a big run, yeah.
Okay. Ever since then, I've kind of, hey, you know what?
Sure.
They're a contender.
Alex Smith is a good quarterback.
I'll get some separation. The reason why I picked Le'Veon Bell is off his suspension this week. Pittsburgh.
Right. That's the thing that's going to end up biting Damon in the ass.
Well, he's I thought you took Kansas City.
And you, you too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, Jason took Pittsburgh.
Right, yeah. I know. But in the first week back, I mean, he'll be fresh, but maybe he won't be in football shape. So.
All right, our next game was kind of forced to take this one this early in the season. The 1-2 Carolina Panthers at the 2-1 Atlanta Falcons.
Ugh.
Of course, Carolina losing last week to Minnesota. Atlanta leads the league in scoring, but has yet to play a real defense this season. This game is in Atlanta, and they're getting 3 points in the circus tent.
How embarrassing.
But
ooh,
it is for the reason, like you said, that they have not played a legitimate defense. And their defense sucks, and they're playing against a legitimate offense, that I'm going to take Carolina.
Yeah, I'm with you. Atlanta's a 6-10 team. The Saints just might be a 4-10 team.
Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina, and I'm going against the conventional wisdom that always says, take the home dog.
Right.
I think I did that last week. I can't remember the game. You remember
Jets,
the game?
The Jets, and it worked for us.
No, it didn't. We all took the Jets, and we all lost.
And it didn't work for us.
I'm going to take Carolina and watch it this week not work for us either. But
I know. I'm starting to wonder.
I think it's just hard for any of us to take Atlanta.
Damn.
All right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a bit.
That first game could have been a shitty game, but since it's London, we'll give it its own spot. We got the 0-3 Cleveland Browns, the shittiest team in the league, who actually had a little bit of a fight against Miami, but lost in overtime. At the Washington Redskins, saving their season last week, beating the Giants in New York. This game is in D.C., and the Redskins are favored by 8.5.
I thought 5.5 was big.
Right.
Right. I mean, Cleveland's bad, but man, 8.5 is a lot, and Washington's got almost as bad a defense as the Saints do, so I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm going to take Cleveland.
Because of the 8.5, that's just a
9 points.
Right.
I know we said we wouldn't do it already, and we're going back on our word, but you have to take 9 points, no matter.
You have to take 9 points, and again, Washington isn't. You know, the Giants game. Look, those are two longtime rivals. I mean, I'm going to take Cleveland in the 9 fucking points.
Right. They'll lose by 8, and that's fine.
Right. But I don't think they'll win. But
yeah, right. All right, so for those of you who are playing Pick'ems with us, make sure you get your picks in. We did not pick any Thursday night games, so you have until Sunday morning to get them in. Make sure whenever you send them to hashtag Pick'ems, and then if once I record it, I'm going to like or favorite your post or your tweet so that you'd know that it has been received. So if it hasn't been received by like Sunday morning, go ahead and retweet me, because
now and don't forget that London game is extra early Sunday morning.
Yeah, you might want to get him in Saturday night.
Yeah.
Right. But as long as your timestamp of the original post is by then and I don't get it until, you know, Sunday afternoon, that's fine. You know, as long as you get it, you tweet it by the deadline. But yeah, look for the like or the favorite so you know I got it. Okay, now let's go into Saints preview. Right, so Jason, you are traveling with the Saints.
Yes.
to San Diego.
Going to San Diego. We're leaving on Friday. Spending the weekend down in San Diego. Going to spend a couple names at Disneyland. It's funny. Initially, I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to the Saints game, and I'll spend a few days in Anaheim." But now it's like, "Yeah, I'm going to Disneyland, and I'll spend a day or two to some Saints game or something." But at least the weather's going to be nice and crisp. I think the high is supposed to be 70-something on game day. I've heard they're not really a great home crowd. And this is the first time Breeze has been able to play back in San Diego since leaving the Chargers. So I think there's going to be a lot of extra motivation on his part.
Do you think 10 years, like, does he care anymore?
I mean, look, players have egos, and they always want to... There's a little something in him. Like, he really wants to win this game. I think right. There's no doubt, especially right. When the guy who replaced him is still quarterbacking for the Chargers.
Right. We played San Diego, but we played him in London.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I am kind of just – I'm just going to enjoy myself this weekend, whether they win or lose. I'm not going to get that mad. I'm just going to go and have a good time, considering where Saints stand right now.
So how do we win this game? I mean, A, do we
score
have
more points?
Yeah, thanks, John Madden. Do we have any of our injured players from this week coming back? Do we know, like, Vaccaro, what's his story?
Vaccaro practiced on a limited basis today. Armstead was still out. Ellerby actually practiced on a limited basis today.
He always practices on a limited basis.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about Davidson. But the Chargers each week have lost a player to a season-ending injury. This week it was Monte Teo out tearing his Achilles.
Well, the Chargers also have been struggling to run the ball effectively. I think what they have, like 40 rushing yards last week.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, and it's not like the Colts are a really good defense either. So
the
maybe
Colts? You're saying there's a chance.
Well, because they played the Colts last week,
okay.
And they still didn't run. The Colts don't have a good defense either. So maybe you get Vaccaro back. They're without, you know,
Snead
any...
to me would be one of the biggest. If he comes back.
Yeah, that'll help. But just on defense, I mean, they lost Keenan Allen, they lost Danny Woodhead, two big cogs of that offense, so stop Melvin Gordon. You know, stop him, and, you know, I don't think Antonio Gates is playing for them. Just, I don't know, man, just hold on. Score enough, because, I mean, it's going to be a shootout. San Diego has blown two of their games after having a lead in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's
so they're basically just like us.
What about the issue where the Saints don't seem to play too well outside or on grass?
Well, the Saints don't play well inside on turf. So.
Right. Not anymore.
Right.
That's true. Right.
I couldn't believe that stat, 4-11 in the last 15 games. I really couldn't believe it.
I mean, is that insane?
Because I was talking with a guy sitting next to me at the game, and he's like, "Did we end last season on any kind of winning streak? Because it feels like we haven't seen a win in a while."
Right, in the dome.
And I thought we ended the season.
Okay, we did. I thought
decent,
we did also.
Right? Like maybe one, right. 3 out of 4.
Right, something like that. Yeah, I guess they were on
but,
the road.
Wow, when that stat jumped out, I was like, "That is insane."
So maybe we'll do better.
And look, the weather's going to be perfect.
Yeah, you said that already. You fucking repeating bastard.
Hey, we haven't had a hint of fall here yet, although there was a front that came through today. But
I don't know. I woke up to 64 degrees this morning. It was pretty nice where I am.
Oh, well, that was a lot cooler than it was here.
That was up in the north, you fucking Yankee.
All right. So I'm
looking very excited.
Four predictions.
38-34.
42-38.
I'm going to go with 35-31. In the meantime, final thoughts, Jason?
Final thoughts. So Les Miles was finally let go by LSU.
Mm-hmm.
After just the debacle losing at Auburn. And unfortunately, that's been the norm for under his tenure, especially since the 11 title game. It's really been downhill since then. And look, he's a nice guy. He's done good things for the university, great ambassador for the state as well. But when you're paying a guy $4.5 million, you can't see the same mistakes over and over and over. And your team just does not look prepared. So many times the team just looks completely outcoached.
Right.
So we'll see. Look, this is a huge hire Oliva's about to make. And I don't have a lot of faith in Oliva, but I mean, you got to get it right with this hire, especially while there's still plenty of talent there. Even if you lose a few recruits with Miles being gone, I mean, that's a short-term thing. In the long run, there's still a ton of talent here. I mean, you can recruit here with anybody.
Right. If you get the right head coach and get people excited about the program, it's not going to hurt you. I think everybody I've seen on the internet and everything, everybody's talking about that coach from Houston.
Yeah, and even Vegas, he's got the best odds in Vegas right now.
Does he really? Yeah. You know. Yeah, I'd like to see that hire. I mean, that would excite the fan base. I think that would excite everybody. So that'd be a good hire. And, you know.
Just they may not necessarily look at a small school, but, you know, so one of these smaller colleges where these teams score 40-something points a game, I feel like get a guy who can run an offense like that. You can keep Aranda as your defensive coordinator. Like, there's enough talent here to have a –
Well, but I've been watching Texas A&M. Dude, losing Chavis hurt.
I mean, Chavis, he was all right. He is. Look, Aranda didn't even give up a touchdown to
– Yeah, I mean, not that he – I'm not saying he's bad.
No, look, I think Aranda would be fine. I don't think there's that much of a drop-off between the two. I really don't.
Just to talk about LSU?
Well, it's not LSU's defense that's giving them the problems.
Exactly. It's not.
You know. Right, so no, but having Chavis was nice. I mean, I think he is a step above.
Meh.
I mean, you haven't watched the Texas A&M defense.
So who do you y'all talking about coaches yet or?
We're way past what
you're gonna ask. Then I won't add anything.
So that's it. So long to Les Miles. He said he wants to keep coaching. I mean, I'm sure he can get a job somewhere.
Well, yeah, plenty of high schools will be. Look, his son's high school, maybe.
So it's been interesting.
He'll get a job somewhere. He's a great.
Oh yeah.
He's a great guy. He's just.
He is.
Well, they're all great guys. You know.
Well, not all.
Adler was a great guy. You know.
But it's been an interesting 11 years with him here. So.
Yeah. No, and he did good. He did a lot better. When he first came, I did not expect him to be able to carry on what Nick Saban had built. And he did.
Talent-wise, really he really
talent-wise,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he kept the athletes coming in the program.
Right. No, I mean, no. His coaching...
He kept the program relevant.
Right. That's another story. But he did. He, you know, and he won a national championship.
He did.
Was that 2007?
Yeah.
And then he did go to another one. So.
Right.
All right. You know, Damon, final thoughts there?
Before the game, right after the national anthem, the Saints and the Falcons players all joined hands. And the crowd went wild. Jason, you were there. I think you'll agree with that. You know. So I guess they were showing unity in something. I'm just not sure what unity they were showing.
I think you know.
Yeah, I think you
well,
know.
But I mean, do you really? I do not believe that they all sit there and agree with Kaepernick.
Not with him kneeling and doing it. That's why they stood in a circle.
Right. Like, I mean,
Well, maybe not to the degree that Kaepernick, you know, Kaepernick may be having a very specific or a more farther extreme view than nobody's going to have the same exact viewpoint.
Right.
I would think that the players that have a little more level head, if they're doing a demonstration of some kind, number one, kudos to the players for recognizing that, you know what, I'm not going to do the national anthem thing, but I will do something to demonstrate something. And something that's not as inflammatory as that.
Right. Well, but so good for
them for having a cooler head. And then the other side of it, and I'll say this and let you respond there, is maybe they're not necessarily saying it's as inflammatory as what Kaepernick was trying to do about, you know, cops versus Black Lives, right? And maybe just saying, like, these players are the ones with cooler heads, like a Drew Brees, would be saying, you know what, there is probably a good enough reason to have some conversations about race relations in this country right now.
Well, the two things. I mean, the problem is that there is no conversation, because that side won't hear anything. They, if you don't agree with them, you know, you're an idiot, you're a racist, you're part of the problem. I mean, so there isn't a conversation. That's, and to me, that's, you know, I agree with you. I would love to have, you know, not me personally, but someone, you know, us have a conversation.
Right.
And,
it's nothing we can do about it.
Right. And this, that's fine. But when you do, then everything needs to be put on the table. And that's the side that the left just doesn't fucking, you know, won't agree with. It's their side or nothing.
And I think it's a little bit of a blanket statement you're making there. I think you could say the same for there's an extreme left that, yes, I would agree that that's the case. And there's an extreme right that I think commits the same, I don't want to say crime, but you know what I mean? Commits the same thing. I think the people in the middle are the ones who need to have the conversation, because neither the extreme left or the extreme right will listen to each other. Not even in, and that's not limited to this particular issue. It's with any issue.
Right. No. And then the second problem that I would have, that's football. That's football. We're bombarded enough with this shit. You know, I've been going to the Saints games since 1989, and even when they were fucking shitty with Mike Ditka, and, you know, people, I don't know how long y'all been fans. You think we're bad now? You don't remember the Mike Ditka era, the Iron era? Okay, yeah, we were shitty.
Yeah.
Remember when the Saints were
remember the Billy Joes?
Right.
Oh, I remember the Billy Joe era.
So, but my point, you know, I went to football to watch. It was 3 hours where I didn't worry about anything that was going on in my life outside that stadium. You know, it was football. And I enjoyed being at the game and watching it and just getting lost in the game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. You're football players. Shut the fuck up. If you want to voice your opinion, yes, of course they have their fucking right to. Do it on social media. Hold a press conference in front of your house like fucking Terrell Owens, okay? Don't do it in the middle of a fucking game. I don't
you
want
did it before the game, in the middle.
Well, no, I mean it's
in the middle of the field.
It was on national TV. Everybody saw it in the middle.
Well, that's exactly why they did it then.
And you know, and again, don't do it in uniform. If I was an NFL owner, you know, or anything, if you know, and you're wearing my uniform with my logo on it, and again, it doesn't happen to be the NFL, this could be fucking Wendy's, you know, don't bring my logo into it. I would wonder how Mr. Benson
thinks about it,
but look at it, Mr. Benson on the TV. I'm, I'm not sure, Mr. Benson. I mean, I hate to.
Well, and so let me ask you, in the interest of fairness, would you feel the same way if they were making a demonstration for something else, like you know, the USA versus terrorism.
The Second Amendment. Or, if they all brought guns
to say let's keep, like, don't take my guns away.
Right.
Would you think that they have a right to do it with the logo on? And
well, again, they have a right to do it. You know, they have a right to express their opinion. No. I don't want to. No, God, no. I don't want to bring that debate into it either. No.
So don't. So you're saying is that please don't bring.
Yeah, this is entertainment.
Politics or
right. This is entertainment.
Heavy.
This
is, right. Issues.
This is entertainment, and I felt this. I feel this about TV actors and movie actors. You know.
At the same time, I think the other side would look at it and say, these are people who have a platform, and if they don't use that platform to do whatever they feel like they believe in,
right.
Are they missing their opportunity to be?
No, again, that's what I'm saying. This is the wrong platform. This platform is to entertain me. That's why I'm paying. If this continues to go on, and look, like everything else in this fucking country, you know, we're entertained for 6 months, and then, you know, we get tired, you know.
So then in that interest, we're not going to force our listeners who tuned in for a football podcast to listen to a political discourse. We'll do
a podcast. Well, but we're talking about a football game, aren't we?
No, right.
I'm talking about a football game.
Yeah, we are. All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Arnold Palmer donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it, oh.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack.
I don't need no shirt, no, gonna take them pants right off.
He's about to jack it.
On such a bright day, who needs underwear or socks?
Jacket, ho.
Been around God's country, and there's one thing I know. There's no better place for jacking it than San Diego.
Jacket, jacket, jacket and jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Jacket it, jacket and jack. Jacket it, spanking it, spanking it, smack.
Come to San Diego, there's so much to see. From the sparkling waters of Mission Bay to the warm tortillas of Old Town. And after a day of sightseeing, why not try spanking it in one of our charming city streets? San Diego, come, take a load off.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Whacking it, whacking it, whack. Spanking it, jerking it, smacking it, smack.
The cars are passing me by, they honk and say hello.
Hey, that guy's jacking it.
From his window, there's a guy shooting video.
Video of him jacking it.
And if the good Lord Jesus comes knocking on my door, just tell him that I'm jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack.
He's about to jack it.
Jacking it, jack, jacking it, jacking it. Whacking, whacking, spank, whack, spanking it, whack.
Spanking,
whacking,
jacking,
jack, whacking it, whack. Spanking, spanking, whacking, whack, stacking it.
He's about to jack it.
San Diego, jack, jack, whacking it, whack. Whacking, San Diego, spanking it, whack.
Keep on
San Diego, jack, jack, jacking it. San Diego, whack, whack, whacking it, jack. Spanking it, whacking it, whacking it, whacking it. San Diego, jack, jack, whacking it, whack, whack, spank. San Diego.